Good morning.
Morning.
For those of you that may not know me, I'm Herb Harrington, and I'm going to be teaching in this class today. And our subject today is methods for Bible study. And the purpose of it is to equip believers with the needed tools for studying the Bible effectively and developing a greater confidence in their faith and in their ability to share that faith with other people. And so what we're talking about is doing some personal Bible study at home. Could I ask, does anybody do Bible studies at home? Just studying? Okay, good. A lot of times, you know, studying the Bible might be mentioned in a sermon or a message of some sort, and, you know, but it's just kind of put out there that, you know, we ought to study. And I think sometimes we see it as an optional type thing. You know, well, I can if I want to, or if I don't want to, I don't have to. And so what do we normally do?
We don't,
because there are so many other things we would rather study than to study the Bible. Because sometimes we think that that book is boring, hard to read, can't pronounce the words. And so I think that's why a lot of times it's just set on a shelf in a bookcase on the coffee table, and we leave it there until we go to church again, and then we pick it up. But as far as really getting it open and reading, we don't really do that. Or there might be times when we hear something and we think, hey, I'd like to study about that, and I'm going to. And then we start thinking, how do I study? How do I go about it? How do I begin? Well, I don't really know. Have you ever been there? I don't really know how to start it. And so what happens? It's something that's put aside. We don't do it. And so we miss out on so much. I hope that I can answer some of those questions today about how to do it. But let me begin by asking a question today. How many have been a part of a Search for Truth or an Exploring God's Word Bible study? Could I see a show of hands? Ah, most of you. Great. Well, sometimes people get the idea, I think, that those studies are tools that we use to reach out to people that don't come to church. You know, we want to get them interested in coming to church, and so we teach them a Bible study. That's true. Or sometimes we think that those Bible studies are for new converts to get them grounded. Well, but I've been in the church for, 60 years. I don't need that. Really? In reality, those Bible studies are beneficial regardless. If we've been in the church for 100 years, we can still learn something. In fact, I think it was probably the first Bible study that I taught. I was reading through it, you know, and I was studying it for myself and so I could teach it. And I learned something. Elementary. But all of a sudden, there was a light came on. And I thought, wow. I never saw that before. And that's the way it can happen. We know when we were in Sunday school, we heard about Jonah and the whale, Noah and the ark, David and Goliath, and Samson. And then as we moved to the next class, we heard about Samson, we heard about David and Goliath, and Jonah and the whale, Noah and the ark. And then we moved to the next class, and then we heard about Noah and the ark, and Jonah and the whale, and we just kept hearing those same stories. But nobody ever showed us how they were all tied together. And that's a benefit of doing those Search for Truth Bible studies or exploring God's Word. It shows us the big picture. It opens up the whole Bible to us. And so that's one reason why it's very beneficial to us. So let's talk about the importance of Bible study. I don't think we realize just how important it really is that we study the Bible. I think we underestimate it. How important did God think that it was for people to study the Bible? If you went to Deuteronomy, if you went to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and looked at 6 and 7, we're not going to go there, but if you did that, you would find out just exactly how important God thought studying the Bible should be. He said, study it every day. Teach it every day. Tell your children every day. As you're walking, as you're sitting, as you're standing, before you go to bed, when you get up in the morning, talk about the Bible. Study the Bible. People might think, some might think you're weird. All you ever do is talk about the Bible. Well, right now, I would gladly take that title, that I'm weird because I talk about the Bible all the time. Unfortunately, I don't. But I would gladly take that that title. So why study the Bible? Well, first of all, it's the inspired Word of God. Try this. Did that change? First of all, it's the inspired Word of God. Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And the next verse went on and it said, but I don't have it up there, it said that the man of God, and I think you could put in there that the child of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So we might be perfect, might be complete in knowing the Word of God. It's profitable. It's profitable. It's not just a book. It also would show us how much effort God put into having this book brought to us. Over 1,400 years, God worked with 32 different people, moving on them to get them to write this book so that we could have it today, that we could study it, and yet so often we fail to do exactly what it was intended for. Number two, it's not enough just to hear the preached word at church. Now, we know how important it is. Because Paul wrote to the Romans, so then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So we know it's important to come to church, to hear the Word of God, because our faith is increased, our faith is built up. We hear the Word of God, but that's not enough. That's not enough. But I go to church on Wednesday, I go to church on Sunday. I think it's enough. No, it's not. Why? Statistics would show that within 1 hour, we will have forgotten 50% of what we heard. And I think that hour begins when the final dismissal, amen, is said. I think at that point, that hour starts. We get outside, we get in the car, we start home, we see this, we see that, we start thinking, we talk about this, we go to eat, we start talking, we see something happening there. Within 1 hour. A lot of times, before we get out of the parking lot, oh, what was the sermon about today? I don't remember the title of it. Has that ever happened? I thought it was just me. Thirdly, we need to reinforce the preached word of God with our own study. Acts 17:11 says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures." How often?
Daily.
Daily. Whether those things were so. These Bereans are portrayed as an example for biblical study and discerning the truth. They're a good example for us to follow. What did they do? They came to church. They listened with an open heart, an open mind. And we could say the Bereans were from another church. Oh, true. They were Jews. They went to the synagogue. They heard the word. They knew the scrolls and all that kind of stuff. Yes, they did. But when Paul came along with his message, it was a fulfillment of what they had heard, what they had been taught. He was bringing it all together. So it was really a different message to them. And yet when they came to church, they said, "I want it. I want to know what there is for me." A lot of times, and we might all fall under this category, that we have come from a different church. And sometimes we come in and we start hearing a message and some of the things that are brought out, that doesn't quite go along with what I have been taught. And we kind of stop at that point. Well, I don't know if I want to go that far. That's not what I have been taught all my life. I'll have to think about that. What did the Bereans do? After they heard, they went, they got down, they checked it out with the word. And they said, whether it's what I had heard or not, if it's in this book, I'm going to accept it. And I'm going to apply it to my life. And so they're the kind of people that we need to follow. They're the kind of people that we need to pattern our lives after, because they were open-minded. Next, a personal Bible study will give us a deeper understanding of God. It will give us a closer relationship with Him. We will be able to see His attributes, and we will be able to learn His plans for man by studying the Bible. John 5:39, Jesus told the religious leaders, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life." But what do? They testify about me. Here were these religious leaders that they thought they had the answer. They were wanting freedom. They were wanting deliverance. They were wanting freed from bondage. They wanted eternal life. And they said, "Oh, we've got it. We got it. When the Messiah comes, we're going to have it." And Jesus said, "Here I am. Search the Scriptures and you'll find out. You'll find out the real answer, the real Messiah, the real freedom lies in me. Search the scriptures. We think we want something. We think we want a freedom. We think we want eternal life. We to make sure, we better go to the Word of God and do some studying and see. Personal Bible study will make us strong Christians. 1 John chapter 2, verse 14, John writes, I write unto you, fathers, because you've known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. How did they overcome the wicked one? How were they strong? They were strong because they got into the Word of God. They were strong because it wasn't just something they read. Well, I read 6 chapters today. What'd you read? Well, I read in the New Testament that. Yeah, I know that. But what did you read? We read it and it's fleeting away. But those young men, they read it, they studied it, it became a part of them. And because of that, when the wicked one came and attacked them, they turned around and put him on the road with the word, and they became spiritually strong because they could overcome him by the word. Not by their strength, but by their word, by the word. The next one, it will assure us of our salvation experience. Everybody has been down and attacked by the enemy when we've been discouraged, when we've had problems, when we've had things coming against us. And if we admit it, we have doubted. But we need to go to the Word of God. And the Word of God is our only assurance of our salvation. When we find the Word of God and we're in the Word of God, then we can face the enemy when he attacks us and say, oh no, you're not going to make me doubt my experience. I know I repented of my sins. I was baptized in Jesus' name. That washed away my sins. I was filled with the Holy Ghost. I did speak in another language. I have got the Spirit of God inside of me, and you can't make me doubt it. So that's some of the important things about the Word of God, why we should study the Word of God, because it's going to benefit us. It's going to make us strong. It's going to assure us of our salvation. It's going to help us to have a better understanding about God, and we'll know more about Him and have a closer relationship with Him. But there are dangers, on the other hand, that we need to look at. Dangers of neglecting Bible study. First of all, it will cause a lack of spiritual growth and maturity. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, the writer says, for when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful. Unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them. Oh dear.
One more time.
Sorry. Okay. I hope. Sorry about that. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even but those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So unskillful. Unskillful. What is unskillful? Unskillful means clumsy, bungling, awkward. If we are not seasoned in the word, then we are unskilled. We are awkward trying to use it. Next, it will weaken our spiritual armor, making us more susceptible to temptation and spiritual attacks. Ephesians 6:17. Okay. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. What would be the good of having armor if we didn't have a weapon? Wouldn't be much good, would it? You'd be out there at the mercy of whoever was attacking if all you had was armor. So we need a weapon. But on the other hand, what good is the weapon if we don't know how to use it? A weapon that we don't know how to use can cause more harm and injury to us if we don't know how to use it. And the writer of Hebrews said, they're unskilled because they don't know how to use the Word of God. And Paul writes to the Ephesians, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And so, if we don't know how to use the Word of God, the enemy can take that and turn it around and attack us with our own weapon and cause us to wonder, do I even know what I'm talking about? He'll get us so twisted around that we'll think we are the ones that need to be saved. We are the ones that don't know what we're talking about. We are the ones that has taken something out of context. And so we need to study the Word in order to know how to use the Word. Next, we will be more vulnerable to listening to false teaching. Hosea 4:6, God through the prophet Hosea said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They're destroyed. They're ruined, both emotionally and spiritually. They're ruined because they don't have the knowledge. How do you get that knowledge? You get the knowledge through study. We'll listen to false teaching. False doctrines frequently use enticing tones, or they will discreetly misrepresent, or they will take out of context a scripture in order to deceive. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any of the beasts of the field that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, yea, hath God said? Oh, I know that's the way it's written. I know that's what it says, but does God really mean it that way? Is that really what God intended? Is that really what God said? I don't think that's what he really meant. And that can happen because we don't know the Word of God. It's so important to study the Bible. And about every day, I see and I hear things that I think, oh, if only people would study the Bible. I heard something, it's been a few years ago, that if I hadn't heard it with my own ears, I wouldn't believe it. But here was a minister speaking to his congregation, and he said, I don't tell you what you can do or can't do, what you should do or shouldn't do, because I don't know what God likes or dislikes, and neither do you.
I know. Shake our heads.
And I thought, really? 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 You don't know what God likes and dislikes. You don't know what God wants people to do and what God doesn't want people to do. You don't know. Open the book. You open the book, and you don't have to read very many pages until you find out what God likes and what God doesn't like. I think about Ezekiel, where God said, I have made you a watchman. You're up on the wall. You watch for the enemy. When the enemy comes, you sound the alarm. You warn the people. And I'm thinking, this man says, I don't know what the enemy looks like. You don't know what the enemy looks like. False teaching. False teaching. That just opens up people to say, well, then I can do whatever I want to do because I don't know if God likes it or not. And they're going down that broad way, wide gate that leads to destruction because they're blind. They're blind. They're thinking, I don't know what God likes, so I'm just going to do my own thing. Okay, enough of that. So the question is, what is keeping me from studying the Bible? What's keeping me from studying the Bible? I know it's important. I know that there are dangers that will happen if I don't study it. So what's keeping me from studying it? Well, tell me how to do it. Okay. I will. I'll try. There are several methods for doing Bible study. First of all, after we decide that I'm going to do it, first thing we need to do is to gather materials. We need to get our Bible, we need to get a pencil, a notebook, a journal, something to record our findings. Then we need to find what kind of resources am I going to use. Am I going to use online resources? The computer, you can find many things on the computer that will help you. There's a literal word app, or there's a Logos Bible app, or you can purchase study programs like I've got PC Study Bible, and you can get that from probably a publishing house or Christian book distributor. There are all kinds of things out there that you can get. You can find a lot of things right on the computer. You don't have to buy them. Or you can use, if you are like me and you're old-fashioned, and you're not really into all the high-tech stuff, you can use books. You can go and flip through the pages. Some of the books are like concordances. There's Cruden's that's got most of the words in the Bible, doesn't have every one. Or you can use Strong's exhaustive. I call them exhausted because they've got everything. Everything. Ands, bees, the. It's got all of it in there. And these also have a section that tells you the Greek and the Hebrew meaning. It has a number out there, and you can go to the Greek section or the Hebrew section and find out what the word meant in the original. There's Halley's Bible Handbook that you can also use. There's Erdman's Handbook to the Bible. This is Wycliffe Bible Dictionary. Those are good. Wycliffe Commentary. This is just one volume that he tells some about the scriptures, about incidents and things. It's good. Or there are other commentaries. There's Matthew Henry. There's Barnes. There's Adam Clark. There's Jameson Fawcett Brown. And then Wycliffe. And I think there's some others that you can also get that you can that go more in depth. Some have something in them that another one doesn't. And you can learn a lot. You can compare. One has a little more in it than another one. And they're really interesting. They really are. You'll find you get into studying and it just opens up a whole new world. And pretty soon you'll find, I really like this. You find out a whole lot of things. I found out, I never could quite understand why Jesus cursed the fig tree that didn't have anything. I never could get that through my head. Why? Because one of the Gospels says that when he looked at the tree, it was the wrong season. There wasn't even supposed to be any figs on that tree. And yet Jesus says, because you don't have any figs, you are cursed. And it dried up. I thought, I know you can do whatever you want to do, Lord, but really? You're expecting a tree to have fruit in the off season? That'd be like Brother White going out to an apple tree in March. I'm hungry for an apple pie. I'm going to go out and pick some apples. He goes out there. There's barely any leaves on the tree. Well, okay for you. Brother Boggs comes over and says, "Hey, what happened to the tree?" "Oh, I cut it down." "Why? That was a good tree." "Well, I was hungry for an apple pie and that thing didn't have an apple on it." "Well, duh, it's March. It ain't supposed to have any yet." "Well, I don't care. I wanted an apple pie." And I'm thinking, Jesus, why did you curse that poor tree? It didn't have any fault. You want to find out? Study it. First thing to do is begin with prayer and ask God, "What do you want to show me, Lord?" And then whatever method of study that you choose, when you start reading, read slowly. Slowly. And with purpose. Because I'm not just reading to be reading. I'm reading to find out something. So read with purpose. And then you can pick a topic: salvation, holiness, love, joy, peace, whatever. Or you can do a character study. like David or Esther or Samuel, Peter, whatever, any of the Bible people, you can do verse by verse. You can take like Psalm 1 and you can go verse by verse by verse and study each one. Find the key words. What is this talking about? How can I apply this to my life? So you can do that. You can do a context study, literary, historical, cultural, or traditional, any of those kind of studies. The literary is looking at the verses before, the verses after, the whole chapter. So you can do that. Historical is how did what was happening at the time that the instance took place. Cultural, traditional, how did the people intend for it to be viewed through their eyes? Or you can do book study, chapter analysis, life of Jesus and his teachings, his parables, his song, the psalm study, proverb study, or you can do Greek and Hebrew study. Just pick a word and start studying that. So I have sheets up here that what they do is there's one for Psalm, one for Proverbs, one for Jesus' parables, one for his life and teachings. What it does is you pick what you're going to study and then answer the questions. I hope you learned something today.
It was good. Thank you.
And here are sheets here if you want any of them.